This is Sophie Grant interviewing Leela Jones for the No Fit State Archive Project at the Roundhouse. The date is Monday the 25th of September and the time is 2:53. Leela, can you please say your full name and spell it for me?
Yeah, it's Leela.
Sorry.
Jones, Leila Jones.
Can you tell me how you first got involved with No Fit State and the role that you played?
Yeah, it was, I was a WAG, basically. My boyfriend at the time, Robin Collins, was the production manager for the first tour of Immortal, and I used to go out and stay with No Fit State during that tour. I wasn't involved in a work way, just I kind of worked behind the bar and stuff like that.
What are your memories from the Immortal tour?
I can't remember where I went when it was rehearsing. I think it was Pontypridd. Is that a place?
Yeah, Pontypridd. Yeah, that's near where I'm living there.
And it was quite rainy. Zoe had just had Elvis. He was like 3 weeks old, and I remember the first few times I went to visit, kind of everyone being very busy and hearing kind of a cacophony from the tent and being a bit of a girlfriend and like cleaning up the truck and, you know, not trying not to get in anyone's way and be a bother and just kind of helping everyone who was working very hard and kind of, you know, staying as out of it as I possibly could. And then I remember, I guess, I think I saw it in Manchester or in Hackney, maybe I saw it in Manchester first, but just kind of being a bit blown away by how beautiful it was, because it was something that my friends had made. And, you know, I guess there's something about, you know, everyone seeming really down to earth, so you kind of think it might be a bit, you know, people trying very hard but not quite pulling something off, there being a lot of good intentions. But and just having like all of my expectations blown out of the water. I hadn't really heard of No Fit State that much before that, so and then that was really good to kind of have all of that rebalanced. And then kind of, you know, seeing the show at various stages along the rest of that tour, and I guess it might have toured for like 2 or 3 years actually.
It did, yeah.
There was a couple of really nice kind of events. The show played at Winchester Hat Fair, and I can't remember if I was still Robin's girlfriend or not then, but a group of us had been working at Glastonbury in Las Vegas, and everyone from No Fit State had come down on Sunday night because that was the only day they didn't have a show, and so we'd had this kind of brilliant night out on Sunday, and then we'd all carried on doing the Get Out, and then me and my friend Adele, who used to be involved in No Fit State kind of years before, drove from Glastonbury to Winchester Hat Fair and parked up I had a caravan at the time and she was in a bus, and then we just like literally slept for 24 hours. We haven't been asleep. We've been on site in Glastonbury for about a month, and having a really, like, going to bed in the afternoon and then waking up in the afternoon and thinking, oh, I haven't really been asleep very long, and I'd actually been asleep for a whole day. And then that evening there was a cabaret in the tent, and after the show, and Adele had to get up on stage, and her dog Knickers went up on stage with her, like followed her up. That was like a really nice memory. And also I remember watching the show with her then, and she hadn't seen the company for like 5 years or something. I remember her being really, really moved that something that she had been part of had grown so much and become so kind of beautiful, and she was like in floods of tears at the end of the show, really blown away by all of her friends and how amazing they were. I can't remember. There's other kind of bits, fragments of memory from that tour, but it was quite a long time ago.
So have you carried on doing anything with No Fit State? Or
well, I've kind of known them more. Yeah, yeah. So
it says here that you've programmed Immortal, Taboo and Bianca.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit
about that? Actually, I didn't program Immortal. My predecessor, a woman called Verity MacArthur, who used to be the programme director here at the Roundhouse, did a circus festival in 2007, and Immortal did, I think they kind of possibly brought it back to life. I can't really remember. That did a fairly long run, like a couple of weeks, at least. And then in 2009, we bought, what was it called? Taboo.
Taboo, yeah.
And then Bianco came here in 2013.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes,
it was. Yeah. So I programmed those two shows, and I'm trying to think if I worked with No Fit State before I came to the Roundhouse. I don't think so. I think I just used to kind of, you know, work
so
behind the bar.
It's coincidental that the two.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're all in the same world.
Yeah.
I guess I know them kind of professionally and socially as well, but it's that kind of company where, you know, if you know them, then you kind of end up being in the family somehow, like it's a big extended family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a cousin to No Fit State. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you mean. Very accepting.
Yeah.
So when you were going on tour with Immortal, what was it like living and travelling?
Well, I was kind of doing that anyway in my other work. Robin had like a converted mobility bus, and I had a tiny caravan that I lived in, so it always felt really luxurious staying with him because his his vehicle was much bigger than mine. There was something where, oh yeah, so when we were leaving Winchester, they were going to Birmingham or something, and I think I did that trip with them, and Anna, I can't remember how you pronounce her surname, she's German.
I can't think of her name now, but yeah. It's on the folders of the registries.
She was in a Bedford, I think this is what happened, and I remember we were all kind of going down the motorway in convoy. Robin was towing my trailer, so I was with Robin in his bus, and then suddenly on the side of the motorway was loads of No Fit State people, and what had happened was Anna had, in an old Bedford van which was converted that she lived in, she was towing I can't remember the name of the girl that plays the saxophone in the band, she's not in it anymore, anyway she was towing her trailer, and the wind had kind of flipped them both over, and by the time we arrived they were at the side of the road, but like both of the vehicles were completely trashed.
Oh no.
And I remember kind of finding that quite upsetting, like, you know, suddenly there were, you know, and that's when you really kind of get to see the, you know, that people really live in a community, because everyone kind of took it on, and there was like, you know, the rescuing of the possessions and the, like putting people up and all that kind of stuff. And then I think, like, I don't know, there was something about me kind of driving, and maybe I borrowed a trailer off someone, or so it was someone's, I can't remember, I had to go and get a trailer from somewhere, but it was like, you really see like how interdependent everyone is, and how kind of, you know, actually what a lovely state that is to live in, that kind of sort of disaster happened, but instead of kind of, you know, if your flat had burnt down in London, you'd kind of be a bit screwed. Whereas, you know, because they're a travelling community, everyone kind of can, and someone can lend a kettle, and someone can say sleep in my spare bed or whatever, and everyone was, you know, kind of enveloped them into their arrangements until it was all resolved. It was really lovely. And then there was also something at Winchester. Maybe it was a different year. Where was it? Shana and Barnes's truck caught fire, or Rubens, or Howie and Kate. It was Howie and Kate's truck caught fire. You know, I guess sometimes what I kind of observed is people kind of go along, and you know, you're on tour, like you're often on tour where you're kind of doing your best to maintain your own little centre of equilibrium and getting time away from the group and being kind of, you know, not letting things bother you, but kind of participating. And, you know, it's a really challenging way of living. But it's only when things kind of go really wrong that you realise what an amazing kind of thing it is. A beautiful kind of...
Really nice.
Yeah. I always really liked that about No Fit State, because the company that I was working for at the time were a lot more chaotic.
Yeah.
and it was a bit more... I guess they were kind of similar, actually. Yeah. It was a much smaller group with No Fit State, and I think that was good. I think it's the optimum amount of people to tour with.
Yeah. So the shows that you programmed, what did you think of them?
I love them all. I really love them. They're quite different. They're quite similar. They're very kind of poetic, experiential kind of alternative landscapes that they kind of create, and you know, you lose yourself in for half an hour, you know, however long it is, 2.5 hours. And I think, you know, I've because you're not asking the audience to passively observe, because you're asking them to kind of, you know, decide how much they integrate with the performance, then that's like a really kind of freeing experience for people. And I think it, you know, I think it changes people's lives, like in the biggest way you could possibly say it. You know, I think people go to it and go, wow, look, you know, this is kind of people living in a completely alternative way, and, you know, creating work together, and, you know, creating beautiful kind of, you know, landscapes together. And I think a lot of people, it really blows their minds. That whole thing about running away with the circus, like, it's a really annoying cliche, but
it does actually happen.
Truth, yeah. You know, and I've seen it. Even to like the smallest extent, my dad, who is like a pretty standard Midlands guy from, you know, like engineer, I took him to see Immortal when they're in Clissold Park in, like, 10 years ago or longer than that. And Barnes and Howie were on Durastilts, maybe dressed as punks, I can't remember. And my dad bought a pair of Durastilts and uses them to cut the hedge. And and everyone in the village thinks it's the most hilarious thing. And when he does it like 4 times a year, everyone comes out and takes photos of him. But there's some kind of spirit of the circus which has infected him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that happens to, like, 100% of the people that come. There's like a little bit of the eccentricity, or maybe a little bit of community spirit or something, you know, beauty that rubs off on them and then makes their life a little bit funnier or more poetic or something, you know. I think that's why I love them.
Yeah, they are a great company. anything else you want to talk about, or do you think?
Not really. I'd quite like to go on the road with No Fit State one day. I'd like harbour fantasies about living in that way. Like, it's from the point of view of a mother, this is kind of going massively off interview course. But when Zoe had Elvis, and I'd go and visit the company every now and then. At the same, like, literally the same week Zoe had Elvis, a friend of mine had a little girl called Bea, and she was living in a flat in Hackney, and Zoe was on the road with Marco, and my friend's partner was, you know, working really hard to pay the massive rent that you have to pay in London. She was completely isolated from her family and from her friends, and, you know, learning how to be a mother, and it was really difficult, a kind of isolated experience for her. And when I'd go and visit during Immortal, there was lots of people that were mothers that were there to help Zoe if she needed help. You know, there was lots of kids for her to be around. It's really multi-generational, which I think is like the way that humans are meant to live together. you know, there's lots of people with lots of different experiences, and all the kids look after each other, and it's, you know, it seemed to me like the best way to live, like the most natural and happiest way to live. And I know that sometimes it's kind of challenging, like, you know, doing it, I understand that, but it's also like really challenging not living like that as well. And
yeah.
You know, I think it's like part of the thing that I love about them is the way that they are, as much as the shows that they make, you know.
Great. Well, thank you for taking your time to speak to me. It's been really lovely talking to you. The time now is 8 minutes past 3.